I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Morty, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan, Slayer of the Badger Mole Cub, Sacks. Ethan, fresh off the arena championship. How was it?
It was good. I finished in 38th place out of 120 people. So top third of the field, good for a cash of $2,000, which is nice.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I felt, you know, I'm hesitant. Ben did make good on his promise to be in chat and watch any feature matches, which I had two yesterday. So you can check that out if you didn't watch the broadcast live. So I don't want to bore you with my constructed mumblings. This will be the last of them for hopefully a long time. But yeah, I just felt really good about, you know, I was mostly on my own. I tested with air quotes with people. I had compiled a group of about a half a dozen limited folks that I think were sort of homeless in terms of testing. And we all sort of like then ended up doing different things. I was on one deck. We had two people on lessons, two people on mono green, one person on elementals. Two of those people are in the top 16. One of them, Sean Daugherty, one of our like OG, I feel like, fans. I remember, actually, I have a really, really cool memory of Sean. The first time I made day two of a GP, Sean came up and signed my match slip. He was like birding me unbeknownst to me. And then when I won, he came up and collected my match slip from me. And so that was a really fun experience to get to meet him in that moment, but also get to celebrate that win. I saw him calling, I think it was day one, the day one draft of the PT a few weeks ago, and he just cruised. He's the number one seed for tomorrow. Never played a constructed event. This will be his first pro tour. He's already queued for the pro tour in Vegas off of this, and may get to Worlds. There's two spots for Worlds available. And the other one is Draft Punk Dylan, who worked with me, but also he just top aided and qualified for the pro tour 2 weeks ago from the Lorwyn Eclipse Spotlight Series. And now just like double queued for it, which is, I'm kind of bummed for him that you can't like roll over qualifications, but super excited for both of those guys. But anyway, for me, I was, you know, on my own with my deck. Like, I'm the only person I know who registered Doomsday Excruciator. It was whatever, the fourth most played deck in the field. Eight people played it. But I'm like patting myself on the back because Christopher Larson, who won with the deck like 2 weeks ago, he was in this tournament. And our lists are like eerily similar. Despite not testing together at all. Like, I came to a lot of the same conclusions that he did about like, okay, let's skew things a little bit. Let's get duresses in the main deck. Let's get more deadly cover-ups in the main deck. Let's have some respect for mono green in the sideboard with a Wan Chi Tong, etc. So like, that made me feel really good. And he's in the top 16 today. So like, you know, I felt like I definitely got lucky in spots. My opponents got lucky in spots. I think I prepped well. I think I played well. I'm happy with my result.
Yeah, I'm ready to mumble about Constructed with you after watching Constructed. It's so wild to me. It is a completely different game. Like, just completely. So, there is no comparison to Limited.
Okay, I'm excited to talk to you about this. Because I know that I watch a lot of Constructed content. You watch none, right?
I watch next to none. Like, occasionally I might peep a PT top 8 or something.
Okay. So yesterday, but yesterday you watched.
I watched. Yes, I watched. I watched. That's not true. I watched your matches and I watched the first part of Sean's match when he was on coverage.
So what, like, what do you mean by like, it's a, just a totally different game? And like, I want to hear more about that.
There were spots like, it just seems so like so much depends on so many key cards in the matchups and like what's on the top of your deck. Like I thought in your first round when you lost, when you were on coverage, you were playing the Excruciator Mirror, which seemed horrifically complicated to think about. Like all these corner cases of what if X is on the top of my deck or what if X isn't in the bottom five cards of my deck when Excruciator resolves, etc. And it seemed like it made a big difference if you found your land that attacked and milled four cards or not. Like that was huge in the matchup. So I just, and I thought you navigated a game near perfectly and were near a lock to win. And then all of a sudden your opponent like just stole it from you at the end. Like it was brutal. And then there was like the first game, your opponent was on black for like six turns. And I was like, great, Ethan's got a free win in the bag. Let's go. And nope, the game kept going on because you didn't find any of your pressure. Like that deck doesn't have tons of ways to pressure, and your opponent drew out of it into lands and won the game. Like that would very rarely happen in a game of limited Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, both of those are very true. The like the interesting thing, like so in the Dimir Excruciator Mirror, I side out nine cards in my deck. And I found a lot of those cards. Like while my opponent was stuck on lands, I was drawing the cards that
the cards that you cited out. Yeah, you had Requiting Hex stuck in your hand, just rotting there. Triple Requiting Hex. That was brutal.
Correct. So yeah, no, it is very like you're right. It comes down to key cards, key decisions, and even just like stuff that like in that match, I think I was very favored in the mirror because I think like I think I sideboarded better than my opponent. Like I think you're supposed to cut the Excruciators in the mirror because it's very awkward to be like, I land my Excruciator and your opponent has the tools because they're playing the same
to deck you, right?
To deck you. And so I think you go to like a much more controlling route. But I still like, I made some like small key errors that like I should have cast a deadly cover up just to exile four cards from their library in game one. And in game two, I should have exiled my whole graveyard with a deadly cover up so that they didn't have targets for Kavero, aka Superior Spider-Man. Anyway, it was a fun tournament. I'm like, I'm proud with how I did. And I'm not like, I'm not jonesing to like get into the constructed life again. But because I largely like, I mostly came up with my sideboard guide by myself. Like shout out to actually Mike Provencher, aka MTG Scribe. He played this deck a couple weeks ago in the like arena qualifier weekend that was standard. And so he, I was like, you're the only person I know who has experience playing with this deck. And you like, can I be a sounding board or can you be a sounding board for me as I'm talking through like what I want to do? And so really appreciate his help, but largely navigated like my sideboard map and my decisions by myself. And I think like, you know, it went well like that. I lost that close mirror match that I think I'm favored in the long run. I lost a close match against Lessons and a close match against Blue-Red Spell Elementals.
And what were your wins against?
Wins against two Lessons, Boros Dragons, and Mono Green. And that's the other thing about, like, I felt good about, yeah, I don't love my matchup against Mono Green. And yes, it was, whatever, 20%+ of the field. But I only faced it once in seven matches. And I feel like there is an over-indexing on, like, I'm going to figure out what the most played deck is. And I'm going to target that deck. And it's like, yeah, but you're not, even if that deck is 20%+ of the field, you are not guaranteed to play against it like that much, if at all. I think there's an over-indexing on that. And I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I was just sort of like, hey, I'm just going to pick the deck that I like the most. And that was the blue-black deck. So I'm happy with it.
Well, and your second match against Autumn Burchett was, I was certain you were done. And I think you were certain you were done.
I was certain.
You were certain you were done. And then all of a sudden,
the scooch, like there was a massive scooch when I top decked the deadly cover up. I was like, okay, I guess I'm in this.
You top decked deadly cover up. And then once you top decked, and then I was still kind of worried that you were going to lose to Ba Sing Se. And then you top decked Tidebinder to shut it off for a turn. And coverage was still like figuring out, like I'd watched two matches of standard at this point. And coverage was still like, I don't know. I think Autumn's got this, the Ba Sing Se. And I was like, no, it's going to shut it off for a turn. He's going to buy time. Like you were fine once you top decked Tashana's Tidebinder.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a Shauna's Tidebinder. One of that's just me. That's just my weird decision making there for the sideboard. Yeah, that match was crazy because like I was, you know, Autumn is an incredible player. I was not thrilled. I think Mono Green is my worst matchup in that tournament. Was not thrilled to be facing her on that deck. Was not thrilled to be on coverage doing it after having just lost on coverage the round before.
Turn one, Saz's Chocobo. You made a face.
I was so mad. Yeah, but I mean, but that's like a, you know, I talked about my opponent in my last loss top decked twice in a row to beat me, which was like kind of tilting, but I was like, I top decked that deadly cover up. Autumn mulled to five in our third game. Like, I also got lucky along the way. And that's how it has to happen. You just have to get more lucky than your opponents to get to those spots. I mean, obviously there's skill and decision making along the way, but there's just like, there's a lot of luck in Magic.
There's a lot of luck in Magic. That's something else I want to talk to you about. But okay. we should do our okay. Patreon pitch.
Let's spiel about the Patreon for the folks that we haven't lost yet. I promise we will talk about Limited at some point in this episode. But first, we're going to talk about the Patreon page. Patreon.com/LordsOfLimited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. The show will always be free, but we have great perks over at the Patreon. And the one that we always shout out that we truly, truly mean is the Discord. It is an incredible community of like-minded, limited individuals. And sometimes those limited individuals help you in a constructed tournament. And like, I just can't say enough about how nice of a community it is to be able to pluck some folks from that. Like, I feel privileged to be in a position where I can be like, hey, I'm going to gather some unwanted folks, some unwanted testing folks into a community to prep for a tournament. That makes me feel good. But it's also really fun to like check out our watch party channel and see people cheering me on coverage and tracking my tournament results. That's awesome. And we've got a new set that we will be talking about today. And so you get people talking about those previews, though I will say, and this is a little spoiler, doesn't seem to be that much excitement around the TMT spoilers, which I'm sure we'll get to in just a little bit. But the Patreon and the Discord are just an incredible community. We also, at a higher tier, have access to our podcast feed where you get this episode a day early ad free and also access to our bonus weekly episode of Lords Unlimited. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, please head on over to the Patreon page. And we want to shout out our patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming EJ, Robert, Raleigh, Steven, John, Kyle, David, Veal, and Zach. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. I played a lot of Magic yesterday.
Yes,
and
you did.
A lot of ECL. I lost a lot of money yesterday. We're talking about the Arena Limited Championships qualifier.
Okay. So for folks who don't know.
Qualifier? I don't know.
It's a qualifier for the qualifier. So for folks who don't know, this has replaced the Arena Opens for this year. And these are asynchronous tournaments. They're two best of one drafts. You're trying to get to seven wins before you get to two losses in draft one, which will get you a token for draft two, where you're trying to get to six wins before you get two losses. There are gem prizes along the way in draft two, as well as a $1,000 prize when you hit five wins and a $2,000 prize when you hit six wins. And that also comes with an invitation to the qualifier at the end of the year for the Limited Championships in 2027. I also did some runs in this event.
Honestly, you were complaining about being double queued. You should be thanking Wizards for double queuing you because it probably saved you several hundred dollars.
It almost certainly did because I lost it's virtual money, but yeah, I did six entries with nary a return in sight. I had bad runs. So I'll get to my thoughts about the event, but I want to hear your experience first.
Yeah, so I qualified for draft two on my third run. I still have that token sitting. I haven't done it yet because
he's gaming the system.
Not gaming the system. I just literally haven't played that much ECL the past 2 weeks because I've been slammed at work and I wanted to get a feel again for the drafts and the draft metagame and the gameplay. And I had also switched off of best of one to best of three and I wanted to get a sense for the pace of the best of one games. And so I figured what better way to do that than just trying to queue for day two again. So I've done probably 9-10 runs, if I had to guess, because I bought gems twice and I started with next to no gems. And I've a couple times I've gotten my 5,000 gems back. Like I've gotten close, but not gotten the queue again. So I think probably 10 runs total. is tough out there. And I think this particular format, and by format, I mean ECL, not like the structure of the tournament. I think ECL is a particularly atrocious Magic format for an event like this, because in best of one, there's so many things that happen with the tribal stuff that are just unbeatable. Like, that, like LSV could not win the match. Like, there's just literally nothing you can do when some of the tribal synergies come together. Mm-hmm. And so the tournament structure is that you only get one loss to give to try to get to seven wins, which is tough. That's like 6-0-ing and then 1-1-1-ing. Like, that's a lot to ask in best of one stuff. And so that means you either basically get to get stuck on lands once and win your other seven games, or you get to get steamrolled by a nut start once and never get stuck on lands. And then also to play really, really, really well. Like, there's a lot that has to go right along the way, and you can't just randomly have stuff go wrong. And you try to have that stuff that goes wrong, like, not line up when you draft your best decks. Like, I drafted one of the best decks I drafted all run last night, and I ran into back-to-back triple Morkan's Eyes draws from two Elves opponents. And, like, I was doing okay against the first two, and the third one that made, like, 11 Elves was a bit too much, you know? And maybe that's on me for not having a way. But I did have a Pyrrhic victory, or whatever it's called, that blows up enchantments.
Pyrrhic Strike,
thank you. So that aspect of it is tough and not my favorite, but you and I had chatted very briefly, and I think you were not into it, and I've been so into it, way more so than the Arena Opens. Like, I will sign up to lose in this all day when I get to draft versus firing off sealed bullets. I just think, like, ECL is particularly bad for this, but I think this is an improvement on the Arena Open structure to me.
ECL might be worse than this, but I don't think it's by, like, a significant enough margin for me that I think that's the fault here. I think the fault is in the structure of this tournament. I don't like to use the P word. I find it annoying when people use the word predatory about games and their economies. I think this event is extremely predatory. And I think the structure of One Loss to Give, and maybe caveats of get good, but I watched a lot of good players just flushing gems down the toilet yesterday on stream, in our Discord, in DMs with my good buddy Ben. Like, people are just lighting their digital currency on fire for this event, which largely doesn't feel very skill intensive to me, because it is, you're drafting with people from the general population, and then you're facing off against people in this event. So we've removed the competitive draft pod nature of Arena Open Day 2s. We've removed best of three as any kind of structure for this in any point, because both drafts are best of one. I'm not a fan. And that's not to say, like, will I do another run today? Probably, because I'm sick in the head and don't have enough self-control. But I don't think this is a good investment. We haven't even talked about the fact that we don't know when. Do we know when this qualifier at the end of the year is?
No, we don't.
When the limited championship in 2027 is, where it is, what the structure will be, what the prize money will be? No. And we're all just like, ka-ching, let me pull the lottery one more time. Let me get my slot machine, see if I can get Morkan's Eyes three times in a row. Like, no, I'm not about it. I think this is a pretty bad format to make a tournament in. That's my take.
I hear that, but sign me up to be a sheep. I had a blast yesterday being a sheep.
If you had a good time, then that's great. Like, I was not happy, because I just, like, felt like, again, to your point of, like, watching Constructed and, like, then a top deck happens and it's out of your control. At least I can sideboard. At least I can, like, there's nothing you can do. You're just like, oh, yeah, I'm never beating that. I'm never beating one drop, two drop, three drop, four mana champion removal spell. I'm not beating that curve. And that's, like, that's about as you're saying, like, well, you get your one, you know, mana screw stumble as your loss. What about that? What about my opponent nut curving on me? Like,
that's what I was saying. Also, you get one of those per run. You have to dodge both of those situations happening.
I would like to buy a lottery ticket instead. That's how I feel.
It's, I mean, I'm not saying it's not incredibly hard. I just feel, I knew going in probably that it was a bad investment and that it was difficult. I don't know that I knew that it was going to be this hard. Here's what I appreciate about it to play the other, to play the other side of the spectrum, because I do agree it's very difficult and I've lost a lot of money. I think there are a couple things, one of which is that I went into the event knowing that I was willing to spend whatever amount of money, because I don't know, like, I want to qualify for the end of year tournament that I don't know when it is, that who knows, maybe I won't even be able to participate in, but I want to be able to say that I have qualified for it as a limited content creator and somebody who loves playing limited. And I don't know if I'll be available because of band the other 3 weekends. So I just said, all right, this is my weekend. I'm going to try as many times as I have time for this weekend, and money be darned. Because I don't spend money on myself hardly ever. And so, like, I just decided, okay, this is what it's going to be. This is my treat to myself. And so the money part of it, I had already, like, come to terms with prior to sitting down. And I just like playing Magic for stakes. And I like that I'm getting to draft as opposed to play sealed. That is fun for me. Like, just infinitely more fun than an Arena Open. Like, mm-hmm. I'm miserable usually on day ones of the Arena Opens because it feels like something I have to do mm-hmm. to get to the second day. And I do agree that the second day of Arena Opens are much better than whatever this is, with the best of one and only one loss to give. I wish this event were best of three. If I had a piece of feedback, I wish it were best of three to get to 4-0, as opposed to best of one, get to 7, one loss to give.
I guess I have no idea, like, what they're... I wonder if they'll see from... My hope is that, like, two people qualify this weekend. And then they're like, oh, this is way too harsh of a tournament structure for us to... Like, I don't know how many people they're trying to get to this tournament at the end of the year. But, like, my hope is that at the end of this weekend, they're like, oh, we're not going to have enough people to qualify for this tournament. We need to change the structure.
But just by the sheer number of people playing it, aren't you going to get, like, there's math, right? Like, somebody has to win every match.
Like, somebody has to win every match.
You're going to get people who qualify.
I guess.
Maybe not. Like, based on when the wins and losses pan out. I don't know that much about math. I'm going to stop talking now.
I feel like this is also, it's also assuming, like, do you think if you're 5-0 in your second draft that you're only going to face a 5-0 person that is in their second draft? I don't think that's true.
Right.
I don't think there's that many people that are at that threshold.
Right. Yeah. I hear that. The other thing, too, as far as things that I appreciate that I get multiple entries. Like, that if I have the time, which I do currently this weekend, that I can enter, and if I scrub out, I'm going to do my day two run first thing this morning while I'm fresh and awake and not tilted. And because there was definitely some tilt that happened yesterday too. I mean, that's inevitable.
Who among us?
Playing a lot of Magic. But I appreciate that after that is done, I get the chance to try to do it again. It was always like, I felt the Arena day two thing like being like when you went 0-2 in your first draft of the Arena day two and it was over, you're like, ah. Because you had your whole day blocked off to play Magic, potentially, you know? And then it was a pretty big letdown. I like that I get to keep trying. So those are the things that I appreciate about it, while also acknowledging that it is insanely difficult and that I have lost a lot of money doing it.
Yeah. So strong endorse, it sounds like. We've got two sides of the coin here. We've got the full preview for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Magic set. And yet we are 20 minutes into our air quotes crash course episode, and we have not talked about the set. Why is that?
I'm not particularly fired up about the small set nature of it, if I'm being honest. But not that I want to poo-poo anyone who is excited about it. The other thing that was really weird to me is if you had asked me, are you a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan? I would have said yes. Like, I have strong memories from my childhood of watching the show and playing with the action figures and whatever. And I recognize not a lot from these cards. So maybe that's a me thing. Maybe I'm not as big of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan as I thought.
I will say for myself, I also thought I was a Ninja Turtles fan, but I do recognize most of the things, the characters here. Like, I had action figures. I watched the cartoon show. I watched the movies. Like, I played the video games. This IP is like one of the, in terms of the most likely to make its appearance in a Magic set IP that I am familiar with, this is probably number one. And I just don't care. I was just looking, like, I sat down yesterday morning before the Arena Champs and I was like, oh, let me try and like get some grading out of the way. And I got through White's comments. I like put all the cards in a spreadsheet. I got to White's comments and I was like, I don't care about any of these cards.
That was your problem. You started with white. White's cards are rough.
No, but like we're in the same, it's small set. It's pick two. It's, and I know whatever, like this set was intentionally designed to be small set pick two, whereas Spider-Man wasn't. So that's why this is going to be better. But like, it's going to be pick two. It's going to be only five supported color pairs like Spider-Man. I think pick two is going to play out the same that it did in that set, which was like, the draft decides what you're going to be despite what you want, because a color pair is going to present itself. I did not find that fun. I feel like we kind of like figured out what that was. I don't know. This really, it didn't do it for me, but I want to say that like to everyone out there who is massively hating on this format, I'm mad at you because everyone's outrage, like extreme outrage, makes me feel like I can't just mediumly hate this set. I feel like I have to counterbalance, be like, no, it's not that bad. It's probably fine. It's like, no, this doesn't look great to me is what I want to say. But I feel like the haters out there make it so I can't do that. But that is my feeling.
There's no room for slightly nuanced negative takes on the internet. That's just not what it's about.
It's not what it's about. So we're not doing our normal crash course here. We're going to do, because we didn't do previews last week, we're going to do sort of a truncated pre-release overview here, where we're going to go over the color pairs, the mechanics, shout out some specific cards, but there's not going to be the usual, like, we came in with this homework and we have our format truths and our color identities and that stuff. We're just going to sort of talk about what we see at face value. And then we'll have some more to report after early access next week. But I think we are probably going to either go back to Lorwyn if that's available, do some evergreen content episodes, talk about they bring back the Lord's Limited Cube. I don't know how we're going to proceed in the weeks leading up to Strixhaven, but I don't anticipate that this set will take a large portion of our airspace.
Yeah, I could see doing a week or two. Like maybe we come back, like we do it after early access and then after the first week and then leave it alone, because it will probably be largely solved, would be my guess.
That's my guess too. So without further ado, let's get into the mechanics of TM. It also just bothers me. I know it has to be a three-letter abbreviation, but that it's TMT is the set name. And I'm like, this already has an abbreviation. It just happens to be four letters.
Yeah.
I can't call it TMT.
I was wondering why you called it TMT. That hit me wrong every time you said it. Official set abbreviation.
It's the official set abbreviation. Okay, first up, we got a new kind of token. What is it?
Mutagen, which is an artifact token that costs one generic to tap and sacrifice to put a +1/+1 counter on target creature at sorcery speed. So in the mechanics article, they had some rare examples here. So we're going to take a look at a rare. This is Michelangelo Weirdness to 11. One and a green for a 1/1 mutant ninja turtle legendary creature. When Michelangelo enters, create a mutagen token. If one or more +1/+1 counters would be put on a creature you control, that many +1/+1 counters +1 are put on it instead. So instead of mutagen cracking for one +1/+1 counter for a single mana, it cracks for an additional. So a little winding constrictor type action here.
What's your take on mutagen tokens?
My take on mutagen tokens is that I'm very excited about them because blue looks heavily artifact themed, and that's going to be awesome getting artifact ETBs from your mutagen tokens. And blue-green supposedly is at the intersection of cares about artifacts and cares about +1/+1 counters, and mutagen looks like it's going to be very good there. I'm extremely hot and bothered about like teamer artifacts decks, to the surprise of absolutely no one.
you don't have to twist my arm to get excited about some additional rectangles on the battlefield.
I will tell you, you said your flag sank a bit after the white commons. My flag sank when I went to link Michelangelo Weirdness to 11, and sometimes if the name of the magic card is unique, you can right-click and it'll just easily link you to Scryfall. But I had to go to Scryfall to link this card, and when I typed in Michelangelo, there were like 10 different Michelangelo cards that popped up that were all legendary, and I was like, this feels kind of gross.
Yeah, how does Ben feel about legendary commons being back?
Whatever. I was on my high horse about that last time. I've accepted it this time.
Okay. Next up, we've got Sneak, which is a variation on Ninjutsu. It's an alternate casting cost for a card if you also return an unblocked attacker you control to your hand during the declare blocker's step. The twist here from Ninjutsu is twofold. One, there are spells now with Sneak, so you can cast a spell for a different cost by returning an unblocked attacker. And so for folks who played with Ninjutsu, the other twist is that Ninjutsu you could do any time. Like, it just had to be an unblocked creature, an unblocked attacker. So whether it was in the declare blocker step, the end of combat phase, like, you could have the creature connect and then Ninjutsu it back if you wanted to do that. You can't do that here. You have to do it in the declare blocker's step. That is the only opportunity for you to sneak something in.
Yeah, so an example of one of those spells, Raphael's Technique, 4 red-red for a rare at instant speed. Each player can discard their hand and draw 7 cards, and you can sneak it for 2 and a red to turn it into Wheel of Fortune.
Well, that's kind of awkward. I mean, I don't know how this card is. This card does not seem particularly good for limited. It's slightly awkward that you're returning something to your hand before
and then wheeling
discarding
it away.
Your hand. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not great, but also there are some sorceries with Sneak that you will still be able to fire off due to timing rules, etc.
Correct. And so just a general note, if you've not played with a Ninjutsu before, this kind of effect before, fire off your removal before the blocker's step, because your opponent, if you're in the blocker's step, if you're like, I'm going to wait till the very last second to use my removal spell on their attacker, if you do that, they have the potential to save their creature by sneaking something in.
And also, you should just call all the time when you're blocking. Don't leave things unblocked. Like, if you're afraid of a trick or whatever, like, just block. Like, be a calling station.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Okay, what's next?
Disappear, which is basically Void from Edge of Eternities, but it has to be under your control. That was the other place my flag started to sink, which was all of these mechanics are just re-racks of mechanics we've already seen. They're not new mechanics.
Correct. Like, yeah, Sneak is Ninjutsu, Mutagen, like, they're maps effectively, kind of. And the fact that, like, we just had in the Spider-Man set, we had in Web or Web Slinging, which felt the same as Sneak Ninjutsu. I'm off it. Anyway, okay, Disappear.
So, which is Void. So it's an ability word that cares about if a permanent left the battlefield while under your control during the turn. So the card we have here is Krang and Shredder, which is 4 Dimir Dimir for a rare. It's a 6/7. And when Krang and Shredder enter or attack, each opponent exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card. And the ability is Disappear. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent left the battlefield under your control this turn, you may cast a card exiled with Krang and Shredder without paying its mana cost.
Sweet. Next up is Alliance, which is back from Streets of New Capenna. It's a returning ability word that highlights abilities of creatures that trigger whenever another creature you control enters. So, for example, we have Slash Reptile Rampager, 3 red-red for a 7/5. This Alliance trigger is whenever another creature you control enters, Slash deals 2 damage to each opponent, and whenever Slash attacks, you make a 2/2 red mutant creature token.
Could not have told you what set Alliance was from if my life depended on it.
The Cabaretti family or whatever.
That was impressive.
Thank you, sir.
And we also have class enchantments, which are returning. And those you level up, they're enchantments that kind of look like sagas that have 3 tiers. And you start out with the first tier, and then you can go to level 1, level 2 by paying the cost at each level on the card. They're fairly self-explanatory when you look at them. We've got an example here, Ninja Teen, which is 2 and a black for a rare class enchantment. At the base level, whenever a creature you control leaves the battlefield, each opponent loses a life. You can pay 1 and a black to level it up to level 2. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and have menace. And you can pay a single black to level it up to level 3. To give creature cards in your graveyard sneak for 3 and a black, you can cast creature spells from your graveyard using their sneak abilities.
Interesting. Okay, pretty cool. Are the class enchantments at non-rare?
I do not know. Okay. And I guess not, because I looked through all the cards and I didn't see any class enchantments. They must only be rare.
We alluded to this. There's only 5 air quotes supported color pairs in this small set here. So first up is Orzhov. Black white is Sneaky Ninjas. Strike from the shadows with Leonardo, Splinter, and even the Foot Clan. The sneak mechanic introduces an element of surprise, perfect for disrupting your enemy's plans. How was that?
There we go. Way to be on board. 10 out of 10.
Thanks, man. So a couple signposts here. We have Karai, Future of the Foot. This is one white black for a 3/3 legendary creature human ninja. It has a sneak cost for two white black. And whenever Karai deals combat damage to a player, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. If her sneak cost was paid this turn, instead return that card to the battlefield. So it's like one of your kind of favorite-y cards in terms of, like, it's not quite an Ophidian. It's not quite a Scroll Thief. But it is a card when it hits the battlefield. It's going to kind of, like, the game will revolve around it for a little bit.
Well, sure. And presumably you're going to sneak it in and get a sneaky hit in for free to reanimate something straight to the battlefield the first time around, and then is still going to be on the battlefield. Presumably going to have to deal with a threat that was reanimated plus Karai, Future of the Foot. So,
yeah, Karai is a real good example of just don't. Just call. And I wonder if, like, against black-white decks, if you're just going to be like, I can never attack. I will only be blocking. I will only be leaving my creatures back to block.
Maybe. I don't know. So each color pair comes with a spell and a creature. So the spell was Karai, and now we've got, for the spell, Karai's technique. One white-black for an uncommon sorcery with sneak for white-black. You choose one or both of these. Target creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn, and target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. That is going to be a beating in combat.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have, I guess you just only have to have one other attacker to get, like, the full blowout, I guess. But this card is like fine on the front. And if you ever sneak this, this seems absurd.
Yes.
We've got some enablers for sneak as well. There is a very City Pigeon's friend is back from Spider-Man. This is Featherbrained Filcher, single white for an O2 flyer. When this creature leaves the battlefield, create a food token. I don't remember Featherbrained Filcher from my
from the TMNT series.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
That basically says, please sneak me.
Yeah.
And then we've also got Dream Beavers, which is single black for an uncommon 1/1 beaver nightmare with flying. When this creature enters, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. Scry one. That is going to be quite nice to be sneaky.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, get that repeatable ETV. All right, Ben, is it Donatello Does Machines? Here he is.
My favorite turtle. Take a cue from Donatello and invent your way out of problems by assembling robots and multidimensional artifacts into an unstoppable force. Signpost up first here, we've got Baxter Stockman, which is 3 blue-red for an uncommon 3/3. When Baxter Stockman enters, create a 1/1 colorless robot artifact creature token. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target artifact creature you control gets +3/+0 and gains first strike and vigilance until end of turn.
Interesting. Okay.
It's a lot for 5 mana. It's a good card.
Yeah. You really want to make sure that you, I mean, ostensibly you will in blue red, it shouldn't be hard, but I think you really want to make sure you have something that can attack the turn this comes into play. I think that this is just 5 mana 3/3 with a 1/1 that you're hoping to then next turn pump that 1/1. Not ideal. And the spell here is Brilliance Unleashed, 4 blue-red for a sorcery. Choose one or both. Brilliance Unleashed deals 5 damage to target creature. Choose target artifact card in your graveyard. Return it to the battlefield if it's an artifact creature card. Otherwise, return it to the battlefield and it's a 3/3 robot artifact creature with flying. You remember Baxter Stockman?
Yeah. I don't.
He's the big, like, fly guy. He's the boss that you beat.
Okay,
End of the first level of Turtles in Time. Okay. Brilliance Unleashed seems sweet. I mean, I know it's 6 mana sorcery speed, but you're getting a ton of value there.
An insane amount of value, yes.
Yeah.
So basically in blue-red, you're going to look out for cards that care about artifact creatures, cards that care about artifacts in general. And there's a payoff here as an example in Donatello Way with Machines, which is 2 and a blue for a 1/2 flyer. Not great on face value, but whenever an artifact you control enters, put a +1/+1 counter on a Donatello. And it looks like there are a lot of artifacts running around the set, as well as mutagen tokens as ways to pump up Donatello.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we'll see as we get to, I think, some commons that stand out. There's, like, artifact that brings along an artifact token. And so that's going to double trigger Donatello. I don't think, like, this gets to a 2/3, like, 3 mana 2/3 flyer is fine. And the fact that this then threatens to get larger is pretty impressive. All right, Golgari is disappear. As a party dude, Michelangelo makes pizza disappear. This is such a stretch. Whenever a permanent you control leaves the battlefield, utilize special abilities to make your opponents disappear too. Okay, signposts.
I didn't. That one was not a 10 out of 10. That was like a 6 out of 10. I didn't feel that one from you. Look,
sometimes as an actor, you can only do so much with the material you're given. You know, we have Pizza Face Gastromancer. This is 3 black green for a 2/4 legendary artifact creature. When Pizza Face enters, create a food token. It has disappear at the beginning of your end step. If a permanent left the battlefield under your control, you put 3 +1/+1 counters on up to one target artifact or creature. And if it isn't a creature, it becomes a 0/0 mutant creature in addition to its other types. You can animate mutagen tokens with this.
Correct.
As well as other artifacts.
Food tokens as well.
Mm-hmm. And you can pay 10 tap to sacrifice Pizza Face and gain 15 life, which is pretty funny. Maybe I don't know if J-Maz is doing an achievement run for this, but I feel like gain 15 off Pizza Face could be one. This I'm less excited about. This is a 5-mana 2/4. It makes a food, but it doesn't necessarily. I guess if you can trigger the disappear, but remember how much this is a real throwback. Remember how much we were like excited about Morbid,
yeah.
Morcrut Banshee was this 5-mana 4/4. When it entered, if a creature died under your control, you can give a creature -4/-4 until end of turn. So like, I feel like when people saw that card, they're like, oh my God, this is incredible. Flame Tongue Kavu, whatever. It's kind of hard, especially when people know this is a mechanic. Like, to your point, I guess there's an interesting tension there of push-pull where we're saying you always block
against Ninjutsu
or with Sneak, but don't block, don't trade against the disappear. I guess there's some tension there, but I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of this, but I feel like I'm always skeptical of black green, and black green has just been juiced in the play booster era mostly.
I mean, I like this card. Is an artifact, brings another artifact along with it. I like this card. I think I'm a little more optimistic than you. If you ever get the scenario where this comes down as a 2/4 and puts 3 +1/+1 counters on something else.
Well, it makes the food. So ostensibly it's just going to animate the food token it comes with.
Well, sure. Or you can just put them on another creature. You can turn a 3/3 into a 6/6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to go on the food token. You can make another large threat that they feel like they have to deal with, while also then Pizza Face threatening to keep putting. I think this card's more powerful than you're giving it credit for.
Okay. All right.
I also want to, this is going to be horrible for our audio audience. Does this art look weird to you?
Oh, you're one of those? This is the worst art in any MTG set ever.
No. But it looks like a picture. Like, he's in focus, and then like the stuff behind him is blurred out the way a photograph would look. It's very unusual.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks weird to me in that it is a man made of cheese and toppings.
That's not the part that looks weird to me. It's like the focus of
no,
the art.
That part I'm used to. That part I'm into that. To me.
Yeah. The spell we've got for black green is Tainted Treats, which is 1 black green for an instant uncommon. Destroy target artifact or creature. If its mana value is 4 or less, create a food token.
Yeah, this card is great. No notes.
So Disappear is going to work with a lot of stuff that's going on. It's going to work with food tokens. It's going to work with mutagen tokens. It's going to work with the sneak mechanic. It's going to work with sacrifice effects. There's a lot that's going to be disappearing.
Next up is Boros Alliance. Raphael collects a misfit band of outcasts and loners that help each other overcome any obstacle. As new members join the crew, your creatures pump up their power.
You tried. And then you pooped out.
I don't know what you're looking for from me, man. You can take the next one. Okay, the signposts here, we've got the Neutrinos. This is 2 red-white for a 2/4. It's a legendary creature, Elf Rebel. It's a 2/4 flyer. Its alliance trigger is the Neutrinos get +1/+0 until end of turn. And whenever the Neutrinos attack, exile up to one target creature you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control, tapped and attacking.
Yeah, I mean, this is good.
I think this is good.
Flyer, it's going to re-enter, re-trigger your ETBs, which red-white does look like it's got a lot going on of wanting to blink.
And well, not only that, like these two lines of text work very well with each other in that, like, okay, so on turn 5, whatever I play triggers this alliance trigger, then I attack, I blink that, and now it has haste
gets in
and
the car,
now this is a 4/4 flyer because alliance triggered twice.
Oh yeah, this guy, get in, loser, we're going shopping.
Yeah, this card hits like a truck, I think.
Go Ninja Go is the spell for red white, which costs red white for sorcery. Choose one or both. Exile target creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. And Go Ninja Go deals damage equal to the greatest power among creatures you control to target creature and opponent controls.
Pretty good. Vanilla Ice, finally immortalized in a Magic card. Are you going to give me any ninja rap here?
No chance.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you say you're a Turtles fan. Did you have the Secret of the Ooze soundtrack? Did you like have the song memorized? Like, I'm just not sure where your allegiances lie here.
I don't know. I've not seen any of the movies.
What?
No. I watched the TV show as a kid.
No, we're done. We're done. This is done. Crazy. Okay, well, can I sell you? The first Ninja Turtles movie is very good and holds up. Would highly recommend to anyone out there.
Maybe I have seen the very first one. Is it real people?
It's real people.
Real people. I think I have seen the first one. It's been a long time. Like, I remember next to nothing from it, other than it is real people.
Wow. I watched.
I'm sure if I've seen one, I've only seen the first one.
Okay. I'm pretty upset that I'm learning live on air that you've never seen the movies. Okay. And I'm getting notes about my line readings here of the hodgepodge color pair descriptors. Okay.
So Boros, you're going wide with ETBs. There's cards like Mighty Mutanimals, which is 2WW for an uncommon 2/1. When it enters, create a 2/2 red mutant creature token and has alliance. Whenever another creature you control enters, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So like obviously casting this, it living and or like not being a great target for removal, but your opponent's going to feel like they maybe need to kill it if you're in red white. Like, this is a great thing to keep blinking over and over and over.
Oh yeah. I was just thinking like, this is a great alliance payout. Like just, this is a 4 mana for a 2/2, a 2/1 and a +1/+1 counter somewhere.
And I think that's what they mean by in the tagline, the misfit band of outcasts and loners. Like you're going to be playing stuff that has ETBs that your opponent doesn't really want to kill, but then like they need to, otherwise you're going to keep rebuying the ETBs.
Interesting. Yeah, that card looks nuts. That's also great to sneak away.
Yep.
But I guess a 2/1's not going to have great attack, so maybe it's going to be really hard to sneak that away.
Maybe. So next up, last up, we've got Simic, which is Mutagen. Pull the team together with an ever-growing assemblage of mutants that use mutagen tokens to grow bigger and weirder.
10 out of 10, no notes.
So signpost is Genghis Frog, which is blue-green for an uncommon 1/3 with trample. When Genghis Frog or another mutant you control enters, create a mutagen token.
And the other signpost is Lessons from Life, 2GB for a sorcery. Draw 3 cards. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. Urban Evolution fans in shambles.
Yeah.
Do you think eventually this effect will just cost green blue? Like in 25 years?
No.
No?
No, no, no. No, there's got to be rules.
I don't know, man. When does it stop? When does the power creep stop? Lessons from both of these signposts look incredible to me.
Yeah. Blue-green, I think, looks pretty juiced. As I said, I am a teamer stan for this format.
Yeah. When I'm predisposed to be the Mardu lover, and I also, I'm like, ugh, red, white, and black, white? No. Blue, green, and blue, red look to be where it's at for me.
So Simic's basically artifact synergies and then mutagen counters.
Yeah. So we're going to run through a list of commons that matter and then talk about, I think, the colors and some uncommons as well, just to sort of like prime you for your pre-release of here are some cards that we think should pull you in some direction for your sealed pools.
And some of these were just commons I liked. This is not necessarily an exclusive commons that matter.
This is a definitive list. If it's not on this list, we don't think it's good. And if it is on this list, we do. And so you can better believe there will be no green cards on this list. Okay, first up, BuzzBots. 1 and a blue. That was a joke for anybody out there.
There's some
that
green cards, yeah.
That was a joke. We like the green. Well, I will say your notes, and Ben put this together because I was like, look, I'm playing Arena Champs. Can you take the lead on this one? And later he was like, green gets big cards, which is nice.
That is nice.
Is that nice for green?
Yeah, it's nice. Great. It's great.
Okay, BuzzBots is up first. This is 1 and a blue for a 1/1 artifact creature with flying and vigilance. And when it dies, draw a card. A little pesky. Sign me up. Little pesky guy here.
It's the reprint from 1 for Exia All Will Be One. What was the name of that card?
Did that have vigilance too?
Yeah, that card was great.
I remember that card. I was hoping that this would be when it leaves the battlefield so you could sneak it away. Can't do that. But this is a good card to sneak away because it's a cheap evasive threat.
Yes.
But yeah, just a good card.
Next up, we've got Crustacean Commando. One and a blue for an 0-3 Crab Mutant Soldier. When this creature enters, create a mutagen token. We love a 2-mana 1-4.
We do. So as I was, when I was looking through the spoiler, I was like, I like this card. I don't know if this is a good card. Because do you remember, again, this is a lifetime ago, but Ixalis Diviner was in Ixalan. This was one and a green for an 0-3, and it came with a map.
Mm-hmm.
That card,
but there wasn't an artifacts theme in that format. There's an artifacts theme in this format.
The theme for that format was kill your opponent as quick as possible, which yeah. a 2-mana 0-3 didn't really help very much with.
This is going to be a blocking station against the sneak decks. This is one that I like more than I am certain that it's going to be a common that matters, but
yeah.
I like this card quite a bit.
Okay. Next up, we have Donatello Turtle Techie. 3 and a blue for a 3-4. Ooh, legend, wait for it, dairy creature, mutant ninja turtle at common. And when it enters, if you control an artifact, draw a card. That's gross.
It's really good. That's absurdly good. Yeah, it's absurdly good. I will say you saved me. I think it was you. I think we were playing with Tam, and I almost legend ruled myself. Well, it happened again. I had double Tam in one of my runs yesterday, and I was about to legend rule myself, and I was like, wait, nope. Tam is legendary. Ethan told me this.
Yeah, you had an Omni Changeling, right? And you were trying to figure out what to copy, and you were like, maybe Tam? I was like, I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do that because it's legendary. But Donatello Turtle Techie, just, it seems ridiculous to me. A 4-mana 3/4.
That is a common that matters, yeah.
That cantrips? This being legendary is a knock against it, because like, how many do I want to put in my deck?
But you're still like putting all of them in your deck.
I would put 3 in my deck, yeah, pretty happily.
Absolutely. We've also got Return to the Sewers. Normally, I'm not a top or bottom fan, but this one's got me.
When it comes with a little something.
That's right. 3 and a blue, instant, target creature's owner puts it on their choice of the top or bottom of their library. You create a mutagen token. So a removal spell that's going to trigger all your artifact stuff. Sign me up.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. And trigger the artifact stuff at instant speed. Like, you could get potential big blowouts here with, like, kill a thing and pump my creature in combat.
Yeah, that seems a very corner case. But there are no white commons that matter from white's actual commons. Like, if you read blue's commons after reading white's commons, you're just like, oh my god, what happened to white?
Yeah, I'm gonna look real quick and see if there's like any that I'm like, I like these. April O'Neil was like the one that sort of, I guess there's two. I'll shout out two real quick. One is April O'Neil, Kunichai Trainee. 1 and a white for a 2/2. When it enters, scry 2, and it can't be blocked by creatures with power 3 or greater. Seems good.
So it's either going to trade or get to trigger sneak.
Yeah. And a 2-drop with like hand sculpting is very good.
Yeah.
And I always have eyes for this after Ride Down from Aetherdrift, which is grounded for life. It's 4 and a white for an instant, destroy target creature, but it costs 3 less to cast if it targets a tapped creature. So I like those two, but I agree. Maybe that's why I fell off the train. Zara is looking at the white commons and just like, ugh, don't know about these. Next up, we have Anchovy and Banana Pizza. 2 black-black for a food. When this artifact enters, destroy target creature. And because it's a food, it has 2-tap sacrifice. You gain 3 life.
What's not to like? Love some anchovy and banana pizza.
Yeah, I mean, so it's sorcery speed, bake into a pie, but...
synergistic sorcery speed, bake into a pie.
Right, but, well, I guess... but bake into a pie made a food token. This is just worse.
Sure.
Pie. Though I guess you can pick this up. Are there ways to pick up non-creature permanents?
Not that I remember seeing.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out for it.
Next up, we've got Stomped by the Foot. 1 and a black instant. Kicker, you can sacrifice an artifact or creature. Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn. If this spell was kicked, that creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn instead.
Nice. Okay. Way to sacrifice stuff. So this is just nerfed. Like, I feel like we've seen this a lot before, but it's been -6/-6.
-6/-6.
So Foot Clan, not as powerful as you might hope. Manhole Missile is up next. One in a red for an instant. Deals 3 damage to target creature. You may put a card from your hand on the bottom of your library. If you do, draw a card. I gotta read this flavor text. Say your prayers, Toidles. There it is.
11 out of 10.
11 out of 10, no notes. Yeah, this is great. This is another common that really matters.
Except I'm a little worried about the art because it does not stick out to me as a red burn spell. I'm a little worried I'm going to... That's like art I'm not going to see in a pack.
Just focus on that little bit of like red that's coming from the sewer grate hitting the pole. That's what you got to look at.
I've also got Bot Bashing Time, which is 3 in a red for a sorcery. Deal 6 damage to a creature. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead.
Great. So red getting good removal as always. Here we go. We're getting into the artifacts. Mouser Foundry is 1 in a red for a common. When it enters or leaves, create a 1/1 colorless robot artifact creature token. And you could pay 4 in a red to sack this artifact to deal 3 damage to target creature.
I mean, this card is incredibly synergistic. This, yeah. I think, is the card I was most excited about after reading.
Yeah.
And wishing that this design weren't wasted in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles set.
Wah, wah. Yeah, yeah.
Next up, we've got Ragamuffin Raptor, which is 4 and a green for a 4/3 common dinosaur. When this enters, return up to 1 target creature or food card from your graveyard to your hand.
Interesting. Okay.
This is also good. That's going to be able to rebuy anchovy and banana pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Next up is Primordial Pachyderm. 3 and a green for a 4/4 elephant avatar with reach and trample, and when it enters, you gain 2 life. Dang, what's not to like?
That's like a stat package.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay.
Eat your heart out, honey mammoth. This hits hard and saves your life.
Yeah.
So, like that one as well. And then we're into some of the hybrid cards now. And the hybrid cards are all largely pretty interesting. I tried to pick out a few of the heavy hitters, I thought, synergy-wise. So this is Ice Cream Kitty, which is 1 and Golgari for a 1/3 common artifact creature. You can pay 2, sacrifice another creature or token to draw a card. Activate only as a sorcery. So you're going to be able to turn all your mutagen tokens into cards. You're going to be able to turn all your food tokens into cards. And you can pay 2 tap, sacrifice this creature to gain 3 life because it is a food cat mutant.
Yeah, and all on a 2-mana 1/3.
But normally this would be an uncommon. And this is a common. Like, that you get this reliable of a way to turn your tokens into cards is pretty nice.
Yeah, I agree.
And you don't have to tap this card. Like, this is pretty pushed.
I like it. I like it a lot. Next up, this might be my early front runner for glueiest glue card. We've got Mechanized Ninja Cavalry. This is 1 and Boros Hybrid for a 1/1 artifact creature. And when it enters, create a 1/1 colorless robot artifact creature token.
Yeah, this card is great. I'm a little annoyed that there's some of these like insanely cool synergy cards like Ice Cream Kitty and this Mechanized Ninja Cavalry or the Mouser Foundry. Those would be like great to put in the Lords of Limited Cube, but I don't know if they're going to make the cut.
We did put one card. Speaking of, I love how you're talking about the Lords of Limited Cube, like it's anything other than an idea that died on the vine 4 months ago.
It's still percolating there. I am binging Lucky Paper Radio episodes.
I think we should put a card from every set. At least one card from every set should be in the cube. Every set that has been in the lifetime of the podcast.
But is this a set? Like, does this qualify?
That's to be seen, I suppose. But we did put Spider Manifestation it's currently in the cube for that very reason.
What is that card?
That's the 1 in Gruul Hybrid 2/2 that is a mana dork.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I love that card.
Doesn't spark joy for you.
Does not spark joy for me.
Yeah. So, but back to this card that does spark joy, Mechanized Ninja Cavalry. This is 2 triggers for Alliance. This is 2 artifacts entering. It's awesome if you can sneak it away. Like if you just go wide and your opponent happens to not block this, sneak it away, bring it back. This overlaps with a lot of the mechanics.
Yes. And lastly here, we've got Slithering Cryptid, which is 2 and Simic for a 2/3 common. Whenever this creature enters, create a mutagen token.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Bread and butter glue card.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you got 1 sleeper on this list.
Yeah, one sleeper, guac and marshmallow pizza. Marshmallow pizza. Or is that how you spell marshmallow?
That is how you spell marshmallow. Today is he learned. Really? Yeah, it is. Huh. You thought it was marshmallow, like chill yeah. out, dude. Yeah,
that's how I've always said it.
I mean, that's
how you're pronouncing it wrong?
No, I don't think you have to say marshmallow. I just think that's how it's spelled. Yeah.
All right. Green for an artifact food at common with flash. When this artifact enters, target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn, untap it, and the usual food clause of sacking it to gain 3 life.
It's a lot. One mana, +2/+2, untap trick with upside. With
potential artifact upside.
What are your thoughts? You have some thoughts while reading the commons. I love this. Just a peek inside.
Yeah. And I did not put much time and effort and energy into these thoughts, as will be apparent. But my thought about white was that it looks super mopey compared to the other colors, just in terms of power level. But then I'm sure Celebration will be crushing everyone in no time at all. Or Alliance. Celebration. Yeah. Blue looks really powerful and synergistic. I was extremely impressed reading Blue's commons, but it's also like everything I want to do in Magic, so I would take that with a slight grain of salt. Black seems fine, if a little bit uninspired. Red's best cards are artifacts and removal, and then ... guess it's Force Blue Red, all format for me. This was prior to having looked at the uncommons.
But
and
you can't force in pick can't. Two draft.
Yeah. And then green does get really good big cards, as we spoiled earlier, which is nice. Like those green commons were impressive.
Well, the 4-mana 4/4 reach trample gain 2 specifically is huge.
But you seemed not hot and bothered about Ragamuffin Raptor. That card also seems quite good to me. It was the 5-mana 4/3 pick up an artifact or creature.
I love a Gravedigger. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm thrilled to play this card, but this is not a stat monster. It's a 5-mana 4/3.
Sure, and Gravedigger's a 4-mana 2/2.
Exactly. And so neither of those cards are cards where I'm like, I'm getting a great rate for my creature, but sure. I am getting some goods there. I just think it'll be like, it will depend how much like that, like games, formats, decks all sort of make Gravedigger maybe a great card or maybe not a great card. I think Ragamuffin Raptor is good. Don't get me wrong. I think it's good. I think Primordial Pachyderm is definitely a better common than it in my mind.
Sure. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. Some uncommons to shout out. White does get some real uncommons here. A couple that I wanted to talk about. One was just a great removal spell, Dimensional Exile. One and a white for an aura, enchant basic land you control. When this aura enters, exile target creature an opponent controls until this aura leaves the battlefield. Nothing too crazy there, just a very good rate. And a card I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on that sparked my attention. This is The Last Ronin's Technique. It's 3 and a white for an instant. Create 3/1/1 white Ninja Turtle Spirit creature tokens. But it has a sneak cost of 1 and a white. And if this spell's sneak cost was paid, they enter tapped and attacking. You think this is, you're not jazzed about this?
Should I be jazzed about this?
I don't know.
I'm hoping to never cast this for 4 mana.
For sure.
And if I cast it for 2, I don't like the 1/1s are going to help you sneak in more stuff because you're going wide enough that they can't block everything, I guess. But then you're like poofing away your spirits to just get another sneak trigger.
Seems pretty. You're poo-pooing sneak a little bit too much. Like in terms of like yours. So if you go whatever, stupid pigeon, whatever it's called, not city pigeon, turtle pigeon on turn 1, attack, return it. You get 3/1/1s tapped and attacking, and you got a food. It's a pretty great start. The fact that this is an instant speed no matter what means that you get triple alliance triggers from one card in combat.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah,
this
you're
card's
right.
pretty yeah. nuts.
This overlaps very nicely with what white wants to do. You're right.
I imagine that this will also, sorry to use the C word, I imagine this will make waves in Constructed.
Really?
This, I don't know. This just seems like cheap sneak, get 3 tapped 1/1s. Like, this just seems real good to me.
Blue does not get as much at uncommon for artifacts, but it does get one banger in Metalhead, which is 4 and a blue for an uncommon 4/4. When it enters, return up to 1 other target artifact or creature to its owner's hand, and the ability of red, sacrifice another artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Metalhead. He gains menace and haste until end of turn.
Yeah, that's like, whatever, Spikeshell Harrier.
A plus?
Plus, yeah. Curd's real good. Black uncommons, I think the one that caught our eye the most was Lord Dreg Insect Invader. This is 3 and a black for a 3-2 flyer. And it has a disappear trigger, so at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent left the battlefield under your control this turn, create a 1-1 black insect warrior creature token with flying. And you can pay 3 and a green, sack a token, draw a card. So there's a cycle of... So there's only the 5 color pairs that are supported. There's a cycle of cards at uncommon that have an activated ability in the, you know, a coordinated color pair. So this is a black card with a green activated ability. There's a red one with a white activated ability, etc. But yeah, I mean, for me, if you can do the disappear thing, it's really just going to be about how hard is it going to be to trigger disappear for no mana. Because if you can do 4-mana 3-2 flyer and you get the 1-1 flyer in one turn, you're very happy.
If you can't, less so.
Remains to be seen. But then, and then this sort of like gets the engine going if you're in Golgari, because once you get a token, you can sack the token on your turn, draw a card, then you'll have triggered disappear, etc.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little lower on this card after thinking about it more, because it also just gets that much better token enabler at common, right? The 1-3 that lets you pay 2 to sacrifice a token to draw a card. Like, why do this when you can do that?
I guess that's true. Well, but that doesn't have the potential to be a token-making factory.
Sure, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying.
For red, spicy oatmeal pizza really stuck out to me. This was 2 and a red for an uncommon artifact food. When this artifact enters, it deals 4 damage to any target and 3 damage to you. And you can pay 2 tap, sacrifice this artifact to gain 3 life.
Are people going to be getting burned out from eating some spicy oatmeal pizza?
I assume so. 4 damage to any target is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's nice that, so 3 damage to you, but then obviously the joke is that the food, cracking this as food mitigates that.
Right.
Green has a lot of stuff.
Green does have a lot of good uncommons.
One is Courier of Comestibles. This is 1 and a green for a 1-2. When it enters, you may search your library for a food card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And if you don't, you just make a food token. But like this, go search up your kill spell.
Go That's search very up strong.
Spicy oatmeal pizza. Go search up. Even, I mean, I guess the one in green is like the worst one to go search up because that's the combat trick. And so it's not great to like show your opponent you have that. But even so, you're still getting something.
But in green black, this is going to be able to go get the black kill spell. Mm-hmm. That's very good.
Yeah.
Michelangelo Mutant BFF also seems super powerful. This is 2 GG for a 4/4 uncommon. Each creature you control with a counter on it can't be blocked by more than one creature. And whenever Michelo enters or attacks, create a mutagen token.
Yeah, that is busted.
Novel Nunchaku was also another one that caught my eye. This is 2 and a green for an uncommon artifact equipment. Once equipment enters, attach it to target creature you control. When you do, equipped creature fights up to 1 target creature an opponent controls. An equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has trample. It's got an equip cost of 3.
Oh, yeah.
So removal spell, artifact synergy. Going to pump your big green things and give them trample. This looks pretty strong.
This is also just a massive tempo swing too. Like if your opponent only has the 1 blocker and they think that blocker is going to trade or is holding off multiple attackers maybe, and then you get to go play this, kill a thing, this enables an attack and also has future applications. That looks really good to me.
And other good big stuff too. Like much like at common, it's there at uncommon too. We've got Venus Torn Between Worlds, just 4 and a green for a 5/5 at uncommon. If Venus is dealt damage, put that many +1/+1 counters on her. Whenever a creature you control with a counter on it deals combat damage to a player, you can pay blue. If you do, draw a card.
Yeah. There's also
Am I reading this right? That this just can't be killed in combat? No, in parentheses it says she must survive the damage to get the counters. Okay,
right. So if a 5, you know, you deal 5 damage to it, it'll die. But
right, because it'll die with the trigger on the stack, I guess.
Correct. There's also Westwind Avatar, which is 5 GG for a 7/7 trample. When it enters or attacks, you can sack a token or land. If you do, you gain 3. And then at the beginning of your end step, if a permanent left the battlefield under your control, you draw a card. So this is, when you cast this, you're going to sack something, probably sack a land because you don't need more. And then this is going to gain you 3 and draw you a card.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so glad you put this card on this list. This is Everything Pizza It's a 2-mana artifact, an uncommon. It's a food. When it enters, search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And it has 2 Wooburg. Tap, sack this artifact. Target player gains 3 and draws a card. Each of your opponents discards a card. This artifact deals 3 damage to any target. Put 3 +/+1 counters on up to 1 target creature.
Is this dream real?
I wish that it made a creature rather than you need, like, rather than buffing a creature. But other than that, I think this dream is real.
And worth going after. Interesting.
Do you not?
It seems like there's a lot of powerful stuff to do without dipping into 5 colors and 5 colors not being very supported.
That's true. There's not any lands at common, and there's 1 uncommon land. Like, not a lot of fixing.
Yeah, I'm not that psyched about
everything. So all I need, I just need 3 everything pizzas and 3 basics that are not in my supported color pair, and I'm good to go.
And to live until turn 7.
That's you know. Fine. That'll be easy to do.
I will say I do maybe like this as an artifact in the land slot that can trigger your artifact synergies in team or splash. I don't know about the cracking it for 7 mana, but that's where I had eyes for it a bit.
Okay.
And then Henchbot also is another artifact that looks great to me, or I want to gut check. Am I overrating this card? This is 4 mana for an uncommon 2/3. When this enters, exile target tapped creature and opponent controls until this creature leaves the battlefield.
That seems pretty good to me. A colorless Fiend Hunter for only tapped creatures?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, is how bad is the only tapped creatures part? But I think that's worth
it. How good can it be for a 4 mana colorless creature? Like, it can't be that good.
Sure. And like in the pick 2 world where you're going to get pushed off stuff or pushed into stuff, like this seems like a very safe early pick to me.
I agree with that. It's also is just giving me PTSD from the first level of the arcade game, the original arcade game with those hench bots and the apartment building that's on fire. Real ones know. Ben doesn't know.
So what I've learned is that I am not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
That's what I'm learning, too. I know we really don't think you can force colors in pick 2, but like if you had your druthers, I guess I know the answer to this already. Like
Teamer artifacts.
But like, do you have to pick blue-red or blue-green?
If I had to choose, I am more excited for blue-red because it looks all in on the artifact stuff, whereas blue-green looks like it's playing a lot of good cards that happen to have an artifact sub theme.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on the just for good content sake, I'm gonna go on the side of blue green. The 2 signposts, Genghis Frog and Lessons from Life.
Oh, if we're talking about best, I think blue green is going to be the best. I thought you meant what am I most excited to do.
Well, I was trying to give our listeners some actionable advice at the end of the, you know, some sort of takeaways.
That was thoughtful of you. I thought we were just talking. There's a recording happening right now.
I know. Yeah, I think blue green gets the nod for me. And I guess biggest question mark for me is black-white. Black-white seems like it's either going to be great or really fall flat.
It seems very fiddly to me.
I agree. I'm a little nervous about black-white.
Red-white. If I had to pick a white color pair, I would put my money on red-white over black-white.
Yeah, because like at the very least, red-white is like turn them sideways and like play creatures and your creatures get bonuses because you played creatures. Like that's good. And I do think I'm a believer, I think, in Golgari Disappear, but there is a world where I don't know, I'm trying to remember when the last time black green fell flat, and it was pre play booster, I think. But I do feel like I'm seeing a lot of the cards with Disappear seem to be slightly overcosted because it's like, but you get this bonus with Disappear, but it's like, but triggering Disappear is probably often gonna cost mana. And so if that is true, I think Golgari might get sort of pushed aside a little bit. But if that's not true, if triggering Disappear is easier, or maybe it'll be easier in early days of the format because people don't know what to play around, how to play around it. And then as the format progresses, it'll get worse.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll check in. Certainly, I imagine next week will be a similar-ish episode. We will do some... I don't know if we'll have a full TMT hour in us from early access, but we'll definitely maybe.
There's no chance we won't have an hour in us.
All right. So we'll do early access.
Cards to talk about. It's going to be whatever level of baseline less excitement than normal for this set there is. you better believe I'm going to be looking forward to early access and playing early access and figuring out what's good. It's a new puzzle. Even if the puzzle is a 500 puzzle piece puzzle instead of a 1,000 piece puzzle, still a puzzle. I like doing puzzles.
Okay. All right. I'm a little more skeptical than you are. But we shall see. So certainly early access, certainly I think a week one format review. And then I'd be curious to hear from you all. What do you want? Do you want us to do TMT? Do you want us to do Lorwyn? Do you want us to do some, like, can we do a deep dive on Sealed episode? Can we do, go back to the Lords of Limited cube, whatever. Like, we're going to, I think, need some ideas, not only for this, but also we've been forecasting ahead. We haven't mentioned this on the main pod. I'm having another kid. So that's happening. That's happening end of June. That is happening. My wife's due date. We planned this perfectly. My wife's due date is Ben's wedding date. So Ben and I are going to be pretty busy in the middle of the summer. And that is right around the time that the Marvel set releases. So we are also trying to figure out forecasting ahead of, like, what kinds of, do we do backlog episodes? Like, do we do some evergreen style things? Do we do re-releases of episodes? So get us, let us know in the comments on YouTube, let us know in Discord, message us on social media. Let us know what kinds of episodes that maybe aren't set specific you want to hear from us, and we can get those ready.
Yep. All right. Great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content at lordsoflimited.com. There's links to our episode backlogs, our Twitch streams, respectively, our YouTube channel, our merch, our Patreon page, like we always shout out. All of that's available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.